Welcome all of you to our Sunday worship service. Today is a special Sunday that we're starting Lola Ministry, that God has been using this ministry for years to draw his people. And I would like to welcome all of you. And also, we do have a communion today. And for those of you who grew up in church, you know what this means. It's a very special means of God's grace. Okay, and reformers used to think communion equivalent to preaching of the word. They used to believe that. Tremendous means of God's grace. And if this symbolizes death and resurrection and the body of Christ, obviously we cannot take it lightly. Right? And Bible clearly teaches us to examine our life. Okay? Examine our lives. And then take it. But examine doesn't mean if you examine, there's nothing that I could really, I've done anything good for the Lord, so I can't take this. No, that is not what it means. But when the Holy Spirit opens your mind and your heart, when you examine your life, that's why you need Jesus. That's what it means. Okay, so that's later on in the service. But today, we're into chapter 1 of Gospel of John and 6th message in 1st chapter. And it is made up of 21 chapters. And I was hoping that I could finish this book in 6 months. But with this pace, we're going into 2021. So don't get mad at me. Yeah, but today, the title of the message is a question, and it's a great question. How do you know me? How do you know me? Okay. This is such an interesting question. The questions in the Bible are very, very interesting. In fact, the questions in the Bible that God and or Jesus ask is such probing questions, and it applies to you if you try it, if you just open your heart and think about it. Today, there's a section that Jesus asks, what are you seeking? Can I just ask you, what are you seeking right now? Are you seeking something? Seriously, I'm asking this question to you. Why are you sitting here? I'm just checking it out. Hey, my friend pulled me, just brought me here. I didn't want to come, but I came. But when you listen to what God is speaking to you, what are you seeking? And this is someone who knows you, okay? And who sees not only the externals, but he sees your inside. Isn't that amazing? I mean, it's really exposing if you think about it. It could be intimidating if you think about it. It could be even scary. Can I just ask you, do people know you? Do people know you? Do you know yourself? Okay. But this question, how do you know me, is a question Nathanael asked Jesus, who is God. Isn't that kind of interesting? He asked God, who is omniscient, who knows all of you. And not only what is on the outside, not only your resume and your external things, but he knows your inside, and he's asking, how do you know me? Okay, so we started out with a very interesting question. And the answer to that question is, he knew you because he saw you. Okay? He saw you before your friend asked you to come here. He saw you. And that's the gospel, people. That's the gospel. That's the good news. So we began with that. And last couple of weeks in the first chapter of 1 John, John's gospel is a very special book in the Bible as the last book, one of the last books of the New Testament. Now, if you could just calm your mind, think about what that means, which is an incredible thing. This is what God has to say. God wants to say. God really wants to say as the last chapter of what he wants to say in the Bible. Isn't that kind of interesting? Okay. John, one of the 12 disciples, original disciples, apostles of Jesus, lived pretty long life into his even 90s. So 10 other disciples, and Judas, of course, you know, he hung himself. But 10 other disciples, they were martyred way earlier because of the faith in Christ. But God allowed John to live long life, okay, into his 90s, into the second century, perhaps. And he was put in a prison, sort of like a prison, an exile, lived at Patmos. It's an island off of Greece, west of that. And he wrote 5 last books of the Bible, okay? John's Gospel, 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, and Book of Revelation. Now think of what that means, okay? If you like drama, K-drama, some of you do, some of you don't, I think I could tell, yeah. And the last chapter, last episode is important. How it closes is important. And this is the closure. This is the last episode, okay? John's Gospel is how God wants to close his canon, his Bible, okay? And it begins with such a grandeur statement. And you have to deal with the statement. It begins like this, for those of you who just joined us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Word was with God, and the Word was God. What kind of statement is that? What an incredibly grandeur and encompassing statement that is. In the beginning, what does it sound like? It sounds just like the first book of the Bible, book of Genesis. In the beginning, God created heavens and the earth. Okay? But here, in the last gospel of the New Testament, John writes, and later on of his life, he writes, in the beginning was the Word. In other words, before the creation was, creation actually happened, Genesis 1:1, there was a person. I asked this question many times, but I'm going to ask you one more time. What is the beginning? How did life begin? Okay. How did it all begin? Matter and energy existed eternally, and one day there was a massive, massive explosion, Bang Theory, and somehow life evolved. Wow. That takes a lot of faith to believe that. Doesn't it? There's no way to repeat that. There is no way to, put it in the experiment and try to prove that. There is no way to do that. But that's what people believe. Scientists, not all scientists, by the way, are evolutionists. Many scientists are creationists. Okay? But that's what they believe. Atheists believe it began with matter and energy. And the question to them and question to you who believe that is, where did that matter and energy come from? What is the origin? What is the beginning? And there is no answer to that, okay? It's just a theory. And it takes a great leap of faith for you to believe that. But in the Bible, it says, in the beginning was the Word. There was a person before the creation, which takes a lot of leap of faith too. Okay, it takes faith. At the end, it takes faith. I don't know whether you had a chance to watch that movie. I introduced a very good movie last week. We watched this before at Newhart. The movie is titled The Case for Christ, based on true story, Lee Strobel, a well-educated, hotshot journalist of Chicago Tribune. Later on, he becomes a Christian apologist of 20th century, actually, one of the leading, I personally believe. That book is a bestseller all over the world, and it's based on true story. And he tried to prove that Christianity and resurrection is it's not factual, but it's a phony stuff. That's what he wanted to do. So he researches extensively, visiting the world-renowned archaeologists, world-renowned medical doctors, world-renowned famous scientists, psychologists, and all of that. And at the end of the movie, to make long story short, he comes to a point where all the evidences that he had gathered is overwhelming to reject the resurrection, historicity, and the factuality of the resurrection. Did you know that? Did you know that? Okay. So when we study the Gospel of John, you're going to have to come to a point where you're going to have to make up your mind. Okay. Is Jesus really God and he became as a lamb? That's what Christianity is. And I just want to share what Liam Morris kind of conclude after the first chapter of John's Gospel. In this chapter, Jesus has been accorded several titles. Okay, these are all the titles that refer to pointed to Jesus: Logos, the Word of God, the Light of Men. Verse 4, and True Light, only begotten from the Father. Verse 14. Greater than the John the Baptist, much greater, in fact. Jesus Christ, verse 17, only begotten God, verse 18. The Lord of Isaiah chapter 40, right? Yahweh, Jehovah, verse 23. Lamb of God, verse 29 and 36. And he baptizes with the Holy Spirit, verse 33. Probably the God's chosen one, verse 34. Son of God, verse 49. Rabbi, 38 and 49. The Messiah, 41. He of whom Moses and prophet wrote. In other words, the entire Old Testament is about this person. And he's the King of Israel, verse 49. That's pretty big, right? Now, what he's trying to say is that we may fairly comment that by recording all these, John makes a beginning on the picture of our Lord that he is to paint throughout the gospel. One point, what is that? He is out to show Jesus as the Christ. He's God. Okay, so that's first chapter, and we have to come to a point where we need to kind of make up our mind. Okay, so after the prologue, first 18 verses, John begins the real John's gospel. Okay, the main part of the gospel, and the first testimony is by this unique person named John the Baptist. Okay, John the Baptist is a very, very important figure in the Bible. And how do we know that? Because he shows up in all four Gospels: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And there aren't a whole lot of people, whole lot of stories, whole lot of accounts that shows up in all four Gospels. Okay? But John's story shows up in all four Gospels. Even the birth story of Jesus doesn't show up every Gospels. Okay? Jesus' baptism doesn't show up in every story of the Gospels. But John the Baptist's story is. What is so significant about this man? He's the last prophet of the Old Testament, and he's the first sort of like preacher of the New Testament. He was a contemporary with Jesus doing ministry. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine I'm being a contemporary of Michael Jordan? I compete with him. Nobody. Do you know Michael Jordan? Yeah. Okay, thank you. All right, Michael Jordan. I'm a contemporary of Michael Jordan. He was playing for Chicago Bulls, and I play for New York Knicks. Yeah, can you imagine that? But here, it's not even that. Jesus was the contemporary of John the Baptist. But he shines not because of him, but because of his role and his message. What was his role as the last prophet? He prepare for Christ. He tell people to repent, for the kingdom is near, and that's exactly what I need to do. You need to prepare for the coming king. If you just continue to live aimlessly, mindlessly, you're going to be really, really be in trouble and doomed. You need to repent, for the kingdom is coming anytime. And it's going to come. And he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And he's coming to give you life. The second thing is, John the Baptist identified Jesus as the right person. Jesus is not the person that makes you your path to be prosperous. Some of you will be rich. I could prophesy something. Some of you will be rich, and some of you we're not going to be rich. Would you say amen? You guys are so sneaky. Yeah. Some of you will be rich, and some of you are not going to be rich. Some of you will be, quote, successful, and some of you are not going to be. That's just the way it is. Jesus doesn't make you successful and rich. He doesn't. That's a lie. He identified Jesus as Son of God. He identified Jesus as Christ. He identified Jesus as the one who baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's the gospel message. He identified Jesus as the right person. And third and most importantly, he pointed toward Jesus. Okay, he pointed toward Jesus. In other words, look, Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And you know what? If you think about the ministry and the role of John the Baptist, that's exactly what the church needs to do. Okay? Church needs to tell your people to prepare for the coming of the King. And this time, would you say amen? You must be prepared. Otherwise, you'll be surprised, just like the stories in the Bible. You will be surprised. You will be surprised. Because door will be closed. And there is no more entrance. Okay? It's not in your terms. But it's about the coming King. So you need to repent. You need to repent now. Okay? And church also needs to identify Jesus as the right person. He's not the one who makes you go to good school and find your handsome husband. No! All those things are good, but that's not who Jesus is. Jesus is the Son of God. He's God. Okay? And he's the Christ and he's the Lamb. We need to identify Jesus as the right person. And lastly, we need to point Jesus. Church needs to point to Jesus, not to the church itself, not to the Lola ministry, but to Christ. That's exactly what we need to do. Okay? So we look at the testimony of John the Baptist, which is a significant part, and now ministry of Jesus begins. You know what the first thing that Jesus did? When God came into this world as a man, you know what the first thing he did? He began to call his followers one person at a time. Okay? He began to call his followers one person at a time. We have two stories that we'll be looking at today. One is brother's story, Andrew Peter's story. Do you have a brother? Do you have a sister? Do you have a sibling? Okay? When you meet Jesus, the first thing that we see in the scripture is they go tell their family members. Isn't that what you would do? When you really meet Jesus, isn't that what you want to share to the people who are most dear to you? Second story is Philip and Nathaniel, and probably they are close friends. Nathaniel brought by a friend named Philip. So two stories, okay, and we're going to look at it together. And here is the text. Next day, again, John was standing with two disciples, okay, and he looked Jesus as walked by and said, so John the Baptist was standing here, Andrew and John, Apostle John was his disciples, and Jesus passes by. And then he points, he looked at Jesus and walking by and says, behold, look, the Lamb of God, Lamb of God. What is he doing? Follow him, follow him. And the two disciples of John the Baptist heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned around and saw them following and said to them, what are you seeking? And that's exactly the question of God and or Jesus. What are you seeking? Are you seeking something? I know you are. Right? What are you seeking? And they said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? That sounds so random. I think they were a little bit intimidated, nervous, shocked. I don't know. But, you know, their response was, Lord, where are you staying? Which probably means, Lord, it takes more than just a few questions. What I am seeking is you. I want to know you. And where are you staying? Can we go to your place and just stay over and then have a time of real getting to know you so that I could follow you? And verse 39, he said to them, come and you will see. Warm welcome of God, right? So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about 10th hour. It was like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So they went to where Jesus was staying. They ended up staying overnight and talked about Jesus from the entire scripture. I don't know whether you remember, in Luke chapter 22, two disciples who were on their way to Emmaus, right? When Jesus, resurrected Jesus, opened the scripture to them and show about himself from the Old Testament, do you remember what happened to them? Do you recall what happened to their heart? What happened to them when the scripture was open? Can I see some face? Maybe, yeah, I know. What happened? Their hearts were burning. That's what their hearts were burning. Have you ever experienced that? When the scripture is open, people, when God becomes real in the scripture, your hearts will be burning. Can you say amen? Could you say some enthusiastic amen? Could you say amen? Scripture needs to be open. There is no other way. There is no other way you could really get to know him. But when the scripture is open. So that's probably what began to happen as Andrew and John follow Jesus to his home. Okay? Now here are two stories that I would like to share of Jesus calling his disciples, followers, one person at a time. And hopefully, and I know that's how you are sitting here. Okay? So first one is the brother story, Andrew and Peter, they're brothers. One of the two who heard John speak and follow Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. They were brothers, right? And he first found his own brother. Now, I highlighted that. When you meet Jesus, what's the first thing that Andrew did? He first went to his brother. Can you think about your own sibling right now? I have one brother. One brother. We used to fight a lot. He's very bad. Yeah. You know, at this stage of my life, what do I want from his life? I desire nothing more than him living for the eternal things. And he does right now. He does. Okay? He found his own brother, Simon, and he said to him, "We have found the Messiah." This is the testimony of the disciples, which means Christ. And guess what he did next? So Andrew brought Peter to Jesus. One of the greatest work of his life of Andrew is bringing his brother to Christ. One person. Can you imagine the church without Peter? Of course, God could have raised a different person to be the Peter of the Christianity. But because Andrew brought Simon and he became Peter. Only one thing, right? Andrew didn't do much in the Bible. Twice he brought one person. Later on, when Jesus was ready to feed 5,000 people, Andrew brought a little boy. He's good at bringing one person. I think that's a great gift. Don't you think? Right? So he brought Peter to Jesus, and this is what happens. The glory of Christ. Jesus looked at him and said, "You're Simon, son of John, aren't you?" "You are." He knew him. He knew him. "You are Lee, son of Lee." Okay, I guess. "Now you're going to be called Cephas, Peter." What is he doing? Who could change your name? In the Old Testament, there are a couple places where the name is changing, right? Do you recall? And probably the one of the most significant, prominent places is Genesis 21, when Jacob was ready to see his brother, okay? And he was wrestling God all night at a place called Peniel, and he wins. He wins. Jacob actually wrestles God, and he wins. And before the dawn, God called Jacob, "What is your name?" God is so strange. He knows him, but he said, "What is your name?" "My name is Jacob." Can I just ask you, and you could speak out, what is the word, what does the name mean, Jacob? You could speak about it. Please, what does that name mean? It's significant. Deceiver. Like, who would name his son Deceiver? Your name is Deceiver. But that was his name. Or heel grasper. They were twins, right? Jacob and Esau. And Esau, the hairy guy, and came out first. And Jacob grasped his heel grasper. But On that day, his name changed. No, you're no longer Jacob. Your name is Israel. From a deceiver to the man of God, someone who fought God and victorious. You know, God changes your name. God changes your destiny. God changes your character. God transforms your inside. That's what's happening. It speaks about the glory and the authority of the Son of Man. That's the first story. Okay, let's go to the second story. Next story, next day. Okay, another story of Jesus calling one person. Okay, next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. That is clearly stated. Can I just ask you, why did he decide to go to Galilee? What is about to be unfolded? He found Philip. Okay, he decided to go to Galilee so that he will find Philip. It sounds like it. Can I ask you, if you read John's Gospel, Jesus in John chapter 4 meets this woman who was not caught in the act, but who had five husbands. Okay, woman at the well, Samaritan. If you know the culture and history at all, Judah is right here, Judea, and then Samaria is in the middle, and the Galilee is in the north. And Israelites would not go through Samaria from going from Judah to Galilee or Galilee to Judah because they despise this mixed group of people called Samaritans. They treated them as a subhuman, animals. So they would go around. But Jesus go right through Samaria. And it so happened that all the disciples went to get food, and Jesus meets this woman. One woman who was a Samaritan, who had five husbands, who was so bitter. But did you know that? If you know the Bible at all, the most extensive conversation between God and or Jesus and a human being is John chapter 4. Did you know that? Nobody's impressed. Did you know that? Please, be impressed with God. Yeah. I mean, try, people. Yeah. Did you know that? Are you like that? When you are successful, when you're big, you want to hang out with big people, don't you? When you are cool guy, you want to hang out with cool guys, right? You want to hang out with influential people. You want to hang out with people who would benefit you. Isn't that our nature? But God of the universe comes and deliberately decided to go to Galilee, so that he will find Philip. Can I ask you, how did you end up sitting here? How did you end up sitting here? Brother, how did you end up sitting here? He was in the park. We found him at the park. Isn't that amazing? No, seriously. How did you end up sitting here? How did you end up being in New York, Hicksville? Right? How? God brought you here. God saw you. He knows you. Do you have a better answer? I came because my parents immigrated to this country so that I get a better education, blah, blah, blah. So we did well and we moved to Long Island, so we live in Long Island. That's how I'm sitting here. Does that satisfy your soul? Not at all, right? How did Jesus meet this man at Bethsaida who was ill for 38 years? He deliberately go meet him one person at a time. How are you sitting here? Right? So next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and he found Philip, and he said to him, follow me. My brothers and sisters, Christianity is not about rituals. It's following Christ. And you are following something. Every single one of you is following something. Every single one of you. If you're not following Jesus, you're following something else. You are. There's no question about that. Nobody stays and don't move. You are following something. Okay, what are you following? Jesus said, follow me, follow me. the Lamb of God and the Word of God says, follow me. That's the only way to life. If you have me, you will have life. If you don't have me, you're not going to have life. Simple as that, right? So he calls. And he calls Philip to follow me. And guess what Philip did? Philip was from Bethsaida. Now, that's so interesting because Bet meaning house, right? Saida. It's not 7-Up in Korean, okay? Bethsaida, right? Bethsaida means fishing village. When I read that, I was so interesting because Pastor Ruth in Africa planted two churches in fishing villages, both of them. Some of you we just came from there. And all these disciples are from fishing villages. Okay? So Philip was from Bethsaida, the fishing village, the city of Andrew and Peter. So interesting if you think about it. Philip, Nathaniel, Andrew and Peter, and the other disciple of John the Baptist was probably John, right? So John and James, all six of them are from one village. One fishing village. And this gives me a lot of hope, actually. Doesn't it? I don't know what your background is. I would love to see a whole bunch of you following Christ together from this fishing village. Right? Isn't that amazing, right? So all of them, 12 out of 12 disciples, six of them are from one small town, Bethsaida, or fishing village. And Philip found Nathan. Okay? And he said to him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets have wrote. What is he saying? Just like two disciples on the way to Emmaus. He's talking about Old Testament. The Messiah, the Old Testament is speaking about, we found him. We found the Messiah. That's a great testimony, right? Jesus of Nazareth and son of Joseph. That probably disappointed him. Nathanael was a Bible seeker. You could tell. You could see the evidences, right? And then Nathanael's skeptical, doubtful, slightly, proud answer. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Of course, Messiah doesn't come from Lazarus. It's supposed to come from Bethlehem. And Jesus did, right? So Philip said to him, he didn't give up. Come and see. You come. He didn't give up easily. Come and see. So he brought Nathanael to Jesus. And verse 47, and I highlighted, Jesus saw Nathanael. That's the gospel, people. Who look at you? Who pay attention to you? No, seriously, who look at you? Who pays attention to you? But Jesus saw Nathanael. Even though he was coming with that kind of heart, Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said to him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit. You know, Jesus sees you. What's a deceitfulness? You're saying this, you're acting as if this is it, but you're doing something else inside. That's deceit, isn't it? It's hard to see deceitfulness of people. But Jesus sees right through your heart. He has no deceit. He is saying nothing, can anything good come out of, Nazareth? Because he means it. Because that's not what the scripture says. You know, Jesus knows your inside. I may or may not. I could be wrong. A lot of times I guess. Which is bad. But Jesus knows you're inside. And the gospel is, he still loves you. If you know my inside, I don't think you could look at me and listen to preaching. I really mean it. There's so many things going on in my heart. At any given time. But he knows my inside. And he loves me. And he sees you, people. Who look at you? Who pays attention to you? Who loves you? The God of the universe came because he saw you. And he loves you. And he came to be the lamb for you. Right? Isn't that what the story is? Okay? So what happens? Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? You should ask Jesus. Could you ask God inside? How do you know me, Lord? Jesus answered him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. What is he talking about? A lot of Jewish, devout Jews waiting for the Messiah, they would sit underneath the tree of fig tree, and they will see God through the scripture. And Jesus is saying, before Philip brought you here, I saw you. I saw you. I know you. You're son of John. I know you. I saw you. Right? Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered, Rabbi, the great testimony of the disciple, you are the son of God. You are God. You are the son of God. And you are the king of Israel. Incredible testimonies, right? We have seen the Messiah, and you are the son of God, and you are the king of Israel. And Jesus answered, and this is the closure of the first chapter. Jesus answered, because I say to you, I saw you under the fig tree. Do you believe? You're going to see greater things than these. You're going to see much greater things. And he said to Nathanael, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened. Heaven opened. And that's expression that is shown up in the Gospels just here. Only Jesus could open the heaven, people. Only Jesus could break the veil into two. Only through Jesus. I know, you know, many of you are really kind of struggling with that kind of stuff, like all religion leads to same thing, kind of theories and lies that you've been hearing. Can you prove that? Really? All religion leads to same thing? Doesn't matter whether the Pope says it. It doesn't really matter what the Word of God and God says it. And the Bible says, I am the way and the truth and life, and no one can come to the Father except through me. If all religion leads to same thing, Jesus is a liar. He's a phony liar. Right? He's a phony liar. You have to come to terms with this, things like this. You can't just like, oh, everything is same thing. No, it's not. No, it's not. That's why I'm keep mentioning about taking this John's gospel seriously. Because this is written so that you may believe, so that you will have life. Until you have him, you do not have life, according to the Bible. Until you see him as God, and my only way of salvation, my lamb, on my behalf, and he's the king who's coming back, and he could come back anytime, unless you believe that, you do not have life, according to the scripture. Let's not beautify this. Let's not. We can't beautify this. We cannot beautify this. Okay? So, heaven being opened and the angel of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. For those of you who know the scripture, that sounds like Jacob's story, isn't it? Right? Jacob was on his way to run to Padan Aram, running for his life because of his older brother, hairy brother, right? Hairy brother, older brother. And he was exhausted. He went to this place and he was exhausted and he used a rock as a pillow and he fell asleep. And in his dream, he sees a ladder that connects from heaven to the earth and angels ascending and descending up and down, up and down. He wakes up. And he realized God is in this place. Surely God is in this place. And he worships and he called that place what? Bethel, which means house of God. Right? It was the ladder though. letter. But in this story, not like Genesis 28, in John chapter 1, that we see the similarity, but the letter has been replaced with what? The Son of Man, Jesus. Do you see it? Instead of ladder connecting heaven and the earth, Jesus is claiming, Jesus is saying, I'm the Son of Man. You will see heaven open and angels ascending and descending. And through Jesus, people will be saved. And that's what my prayer is through Lola Ministry. I really do. Okay? I really do. Heaven being opened and the angel of God ascending and descending and the Son of Man. Okay. Two stories. Brothers' stories, and friends' stories. Both of them, when they meet Jesus, the Messiah, they went to their siblings. Okay? Or they went to their best friend. Whichever the case. I really believe when you meet something really, really important and good, you would want to tell somebody. How many of you agree with me? Can you say amen? Absolutely. When you buy a new car, do you keep it to secret? Oh, I bought a Lexus. Don't let anybody find out. You want to boast, don't you? When you have such a good experience, don't you want to share it? When you meet God, wouldn't you want to share it? Wouldn't you want to share it with the people that matter the most to you? That's our brother. And that's our siblings. And that's our friends. And what I see is, I don't want to push this duty to you, because that's not going to happen. But I think that's what happens. God calls one person at a time. Let me go to Galilee so I can see Philip. Let me go to Sychar so that I can meet the woman at the well. Let me go to Bethsaida so that Bethsaida so that I can see that man who's been sick for 38 years. Let me go to, do you understand? Let me go to New York. Let me go to Flushing to meet you. That's what he does. And he sees you. Son of John, aren't you? You grew up in pastor's family. There are a lot of wounds in you. A lot of wounds. You grew up in church. You saw so much hypocrisy. You were one of the leaders of the youth group. But youth group kind of collapsed. I don't know. I don't know what your story is. But these are the common stories that I hear all the time. My father, who is a leader at a church, but he's such a hypocrite at home. He loves the world. I don't know what the story is, but he sees you. Would you come to him? Would you come to him? Okay. I want to just close before the communion service as we finish this first chapter of John's Gospel. I want to remind you of what Leon Morris said. I think John is very clearly claiming something, that Jesus is God. And he came into this world, listen to me, and literally, historically he came, and he literally, historically died. And literally, historically, he resurrected. Now, you need to make up your mind. You need to make up your mind, especially if you're going to church all your life and you have no position about this. And deep inside, you're not happy because you do not have a position about that. So many church people that I see like that. And the first thing that I want to share as we finish this first chapter of John's Gospel is that you make up your mind, for the kingdom is near, people. You do not have time, all the time in the world. You don't. You don't. You don't. You know, we go to Lola today, and it just brings me to tears because someone who's sick is coming. really sick is coming. It brings me into tears. Because I know I've been mentioning and I've been praying for her. And I don't think I could ask her to come because she's too ill. Right? But she wants to come. And people say, is it okay to bring her? Is it safe? I don't know. But I'm so thankful that she wants to come. Because I know there's only one thing she's seeking after right now. Only one thing. Only one thing, people. When you get sick, you don't have a lot of days, a whole lot of options. You don't. And that could be you and I any moment. Okay? Second question, and the last question I want to mention to you is, what are you seeking? Why do you come to church? Why do you come to church whenever? What are you seeking? What are you seeking, people? Check your heart. When Holy Spirit illumines, you could see it. What are you seeking? All of you are seeking something. You are. Okay? You are. Oh, let me feel better about me for this week. At least I'm connected. I don't know whether these things will satisfy the deep longing of your heart. I don't think it ever can. At least I go to church. At least my kids go to youth group. Does that satisfy you? Parents, does that satisfy you? Do you feel okay with that? I don't. Until I see my children, Christ is from them, I cannot rest. I really can't. Okay? What are you seeking, people? God became a lamb, and he seeks after you, and he sees you. And let me just say this week, I want to say it every time I have an opportunity, and he loves you. He knows you and he loves you. Okay? Let's just bow before the Lord.